Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the life and truth that it brings. Lord, I pray right now that you would anoint me as I preach. Help me to preach with grace and truth. Lord, that this would go and find good soil and it would produce a harvest, God, and that it would bring 30 or 60, 100 fold. Lord, whatever you determine it needs to be, Lord, I pray that you would work in each life who hears this message, God, and that you would help us to hear and to glean the things from it that you want for us. Lord, I thank you and I praise you in Jesus' name. I want to read for this morning from 2 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 to 23, and I know it'll be up on the screens because I put it in myself. So if you have your Bible, I would suggest that you read it from your own Bible, and if you don't have one and you don't feel like picking the one up out of the seat back in front of you, then go ahead and read off the screens, all right? From the English Standard Version. So if you are reading from another version, it might be a little difficult. But here, let's go. David therefore sought God on behalf of the child, and David fasted and went in and lay all night on the ground. The elders of his house stood beside him to raise him from the ground, but he would not, nor did he eat food with them. On the seventh day the child died. And the servants of David were afraid to tell him that the child was dead, for they said, "Behold, while the child was yet alive, we spoke to him, and he did not listen to us. How then can we say to him, 'The child is dead'? He may do himself some harm." But when David saw that his servants were whispering together, David understood that the child was dead. David said to his servants, "Is the child dead?" They said, "He is dead." David arose from the earth and washed and anointed himself and changed his clothes. And he went into the house of the Lord and worshipped. He then went to his own house. When he had asked, they set food before him, and he ate. Then his servant said to him, "What is this thing that you've done? You fasted and wept for the child while he was alive, but when the child died, you arose and ate food." He said, "While the child was still alive, I fasted and wept, for I said, 'Who knows whether the Lord will be gracious to me that the child may live?' But now he's dead. Why should I fast? Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him, but he will not return to me." I prayed, and the Lord gave this. And it's interesting because God gave me the title first. Get up off your knees. Get up off your knees. And then he gave me the scripture to go with it. And I thought, wow, never thought of it like that. And so this might be something that you've never thought of, and a scripture that you may have never read, and if you did, you may not understand it this way. But God is saying something to you. He has something for you out of this scripture today. This is the story of David and Bathsheba, or Bathsheba, if you want to say it correctly, Bathsheba. This is a story. This is one of those stories like that you might watch on soap operas. How many of you watch? No, don't raise your hand. If you watch any kind of nighttime television, you're watching soap operas, all right? It's just a modern version of a soap opera. If you watch Chicago Med or Chicago Fire or Chicago PD, you're watching a soap opera. If you watch Dallas, you are watching a soap opera. If you watch Falcon Crest, you are watching a soap opera. If you watch Downton Abbey, you were watching a soap opera. But this was one of those things that, man, they could have taken this and they could have made a good show off of it. They could have made a lot of money off of a story like this, because it was a man who was in a place that he wasn't supposed to be, doing something that he wasn't supposed to do, and had to reap the consequences of something that he did. It's a story of intrigue. It's a story of murder. It's a story of adultery. Man, if you put that up on a TV, man, you would max out the ratings the first night. See, David was in a place where he was supposed to be out at battle. He was supposed to be out in the same time of year when kings were out fighting. He was supposed to be out leading the troops. And he thought, no, I think I'll just stay back and kick back at home. You guys go do the fighting. I'll kick back. So he was there. I have a feeling that David did it on purpose. He knew. He's a man. She's gonna be out on the balcony. And she knew he was gonna be there watching. Come on, who takes a bath? Who takes a bath out on the balcony where everybody can see? And not think that somebody's gonna watch. Don't tell me she. Oh, I'm so bashful. Yeah. There was nothing bashful about that. And the scripture makes it, you know, at some people, when they read the scripture, they think David didn't know who she was. David knew exactly who she was. David knew that Bathsheba was the daughter or the granddaughter of one of his mighty men of valor. He knew exactly who she was. Guaranteed, she had probably been in the palace before. Murder and adultery. So then they have a secret liaison, and she gets pregnant. So now what do you got to do? Well, David's got to take out the husband. Got to take him out. And so the result is David has Bathsheba's husband killed. So that he can take her as his wife. Oh, that's mighty generous of you, David. Only thing is, it didn't go without God's notice, because God sent Nathan and told him a story about sheep. And David said about the person who stole the one sheep who had all kinds of sheep. He said, that person should die. And Nathan said, that person's you. David probably sucked all the air out of the room when Nathan said that. But there are some things about this whole situation. And now that and this scripture we just read is the end part of the story. As soon as Nathan left, the child gets sick. Well, what's David got to do? Well, David, I'm a man of God. I'm the king, so I'm going to pray. I'm going to fast. I know that God will hear and answer me. See, David recognized the sovereignty of God. He thought, as long as there's hope, as long as the child is alive, there's hope that God will hear me, God will have mercy on me and heal this child. You see, God couldn't bless that. It was nothing, it was no reflection on the child, but it was a reflection on David, on what David had done. This was a consequence of what David had done. You see, God couldn't bless it because he couldn't bless David's lineage with a child that was born out of wedlock. No way. Couldn't do it. Think about it. What we know now, who came from the lineage and the line of David? Who did? Who came? Jesus. How could Jesus come from the illegitimate son? He couldn't come through that. God couldn't allow that. Not only that, but what would it look like to the nations, the pagan nations who are around, if God blessed adultery and murder, and blessed a child that was born of that? What would that say? What kind of witness would that be about God? It wouldn't have been a very good witness at all. The child couldn't live. For God's will to be accomplished through David's line, it couldn't happen. See, and then out of forgiveness and restoration, God brought hope. He brought hope. Because what happened after that child was died? Child died. He had another one. He had another child, and that child was Solomon. And this time, Solomon was born out of in wedlock. Solomon was born legitimately. And God could bless that. God could bless that. See, a lot of times we, in our own lives, we do things. I think I might be getting ahead of myself, but I don't know. But I'm going to say it now anyway. A lot of times we do things in our lives. We create situations in our lives. We sin in our lives. And then we pray. I am ahead of myself. And we pray and ask. And we're expecting God. Now, God will forgive you, but then we're expecting God to take away the consequences of the things that we've done. And we're on our knees praying. Get up off your knees. See, there's some things in this life you don't have to pray about. See, you don't have to pray about God delivering you from the consequences of your sin. Does God forgive you? Absolutely, God forgives you. Does God hold a grudge? No, God doesn't hold a grudge. But you have planted seed, and the scripture says, whatever you plant, you will reap. Get up off your knees. Sometimes when pastors or people will come to you and say, you know, I want you to do something in the church, Pastor, let me pray about it. Can I tell you that there's one of those things? Get up off your knees. Get up. Get up and do it. Get up and work. Get up off your knees. During this time, when this was going on with David and Bathsheba and the child, David wrote Psalm 51. Psalm 51. Those of you who don't know, aren't familiar with Psalm 51, it's a psalm of repentance. David's repentance and God's forgiveness. And I'm going to read it for you. It says, have mercy on me, O God, according to your steadfast love. According to your abundant mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. David realized he's always thinking, it's always going to be there for him. He's always going to remember it. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you may be justified in your words and blameless in your judgment. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, you delight in truth in the inward being. And you teach me wisdom in the secret heart. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Let me hear joy and gladness. Let the bones that you've broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from your presence and take not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and uphold me with a willing spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will return to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, O God of my salvation. And my tongue will sing aloud for your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips and my mouth will declare your praise. For you will not delight in sacrifice, or I would give it. You will not be pleased with a burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. O God, you will not despise. Do good to Zion in your good pleasure. Build up the walls of Jerusalem. Then will you delight in your right sacrifices, in burnt offerings and whole burnt offerings. Then bulls will be offered on your altar. David recognized God's sovereignty. And he repented. And God forgave him. Get up off your knees. Stop. We sin. We get on our knees, we repent, and the enemy comes and brings condemnation to you and brings it back to your mind all the time, and you're on your knees constantly. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. God, forgive me. My friend, God forgave you the first time you ask. Get up off your knees and move forward. God doesn't beat us to death with our memory of the things that we've done in our past. He's freed us from the things that we've done in our past by the blood of Jesus Christ. That doesn't give us license to sin. What it does is it gives us a directive to live our lives for Christ. Dr. Bally was talking about some of these preachers who talk about grace all the time, and I kind of have to agree with some of the things he said yesterday about that. Is we hear grace, 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 hyper grace. Well, let me tell you what, friends, with grace comes responsibility. And that responsibility is to live your life like Jesus did something for you. Live your life like you owe him something, because you do. You owe him your very life. Get off your knees. Get up. Get up. There's a time to be on our knees in prayer. There is a time. And quite honestly, it needs to be a lot more than it is. But then there's times when we don't need to be on our knees because it's not doing us any good. David thought, okay, well, as long as the child's alive, when the child was alive, what'd he do? He got up. He recognized the futility of his petition. He recognized it didn't do any good. Because God's not going to bless sin. You know, we sin sometimes and then we pray for crop failure. Planting a bunch of seed. It's like, well, Lord, please let those seeds die. I don't want to reap a... Doesn't work that way. What you plant, you're going to reap. And David recognized the futility of his petition and for God to bless and to save sin. So he got up after 7 days. It took 7 days for the child to die. Well, if you don't know what the significance of the number seven is, the number seven is the number of perfection or completion. 7 days. And God's judgment was complete. So now, David, in the meantime, David had written Psalm 51. So now that the child's dead, so David's gonna say, okay, well, I'm gonna stay on my face, I'm gonna fast some more, I'm gonna pray, maybe. He realized that God's judgment was done, and now he no longer had to live with that. He didn't have to live with the condemnation from it. You don't either. Stop letting the enemy beat you up with your past. Your past is gone. It's under the blood if you're a born-again believer. It's under the blood. It's forgotten. Get up off your knees. I put in laminate flooring. How many of you remember the sermon I preached when I first time I put in the laminate flooring? Life Proof. Remember that? And then I put in some more a few weeks ago, and my wife told me before we go on vacation, I have to finish putting it in our bedroom. But to do it, you have to be on your knees. Let me tell you what. Even with knee pads, it's really hard. Your knees still get sore. I got the nice ones, too, that they're flat so that you're not rocking around, and there's gel inside of them. And the only thing is, it's the Velcro strap on the back that kills the back of your legs. The front of your knees are all right. It's the back that kill you by the end of the day. But see, when I'm done with that, when I'm done putting the floor, I'm not going to keep those knee pads on. I'm not going to stay walking around on the floor. I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk on the floor with my feet. I'm not going to be on my knees anymore. And God's saying, get up. The work is done. Get up and get on your feet. Get off your knees. David changed his clothes. He changed, went from mourning to gladness. And God is telling you the same thing. Get up, wash your face, comb your hair. Put a little soap under the arms. Clean yourself up. Brush your teeth. Put a little mouthwash in because you know you got dragon breath. Get something to eat. Nourish yourself. Get off your knees. Get off your knees. The work has been done. You being on your knees continually is not going to change what Jesus did. Now, I hope you understand what I'm saying here this morning, and you're not going to say, my pastor said I shouldn't get on my knees and pray. It's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when the work is done, you get up off your knees. And you don't get on your knees praying for something that God is not going to answer you for. Right? If it's a product of sin, oh God, please, please, I don't want it. I can't, I'd be repeating myself if I said it again. David had already been forgiven. The judgment was done. David was forgiven, and now it was time for him to get up and to move on. See, there's a time and a place to be on your knees. And then there's a time and a place to get up off your knees. Wallowing in self-pity does not accomplish anything. Listening to the enemy accomplishes even less. Get up off your knees. Recognize that you've been forgiven. Accept the consequences of your sin. David accepted the consequences. Did he not? He accepted the consequences. Well, how do we know he accepted the consequences? Because he got up off his knees. The consequences were that the child was going to die because it couldn't be blessed. David accepted those consequences, and he got up and he moved forward. David moved on. See, because David knew he had an advocate. Let the past be the past. Don't try to bring it back into the future. You can't change what's already happened. You can move forward and go on, and you can change your future, but you can't change your past. So you can make determinations. I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do that by the help of God, God willing. Because Scripture says that we make plans and God directs our steps. It's time to get up and to move on. Your sin is forgiven. There's no condemnation. Your sin has been forgotten. Your sin has been forgotten. Oh God, you remember when I... What are you talking about? Well, you remember that... I'm sorry, I'm at a loss. And it's not because God has a bad memory. You've heard that before. That's nothing new. But it's because God chooses never to remember it against you anymore. There's two forces that will help, that will keep you remembering something. One of them is the enemy. The other one is you. the other one is you. Sometimes we are our own worst enemies. I know this wasn't along this morning, but God is saying, get up off your knees and walk the way I have ordained you to walk. Leave the past in the past and stop digging up old bones. Stop digging them up. Let them be buried and let them stay there. Let's all stand. Father, I thank you for the work that Jesus did. Father, that's what we've been talking about all morning. And Lord, I thank you that you're telling us that our past is forgiven and our past is gone. If it's under the blood, it's not remembered anymore. God, that we need to get up off of our knees. Stop praying for things that we're not going to get an answer to. Especially the answer that we're wanting. God, a lot of times we get on our knees praying that you would do something for us, and that's never going to happen because it goes against and it's contrary to the Word of God. But God, let us get up off our knees and to move forward. To move forward and to leave the past in the past. And to keep our eyes on the prize. And that prize is to be with God. To be with Jesus in heaven. Keep our eyes on the prize. Every head bowed, every eye closed. No one looking around, please. I just want to give you an opportunity. If you're here and you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And your sin has not been put under the blood, and you don't understand it. I want to give you an opportunity. It may be a rededication. You may have been walked with God at one point, and you walked away and aren't walking with Him anymore. But it's time to get back. It's time to come back. Stop running. Time to get up off your knees. If that's you, I want you to raise your hand. Anyone at all? Anyone? You say, Pastor, there's things that I've been digging up old bones. And I just need to put the dirt back on and leave them alone. I keep remembering things, and the enemy's bringing up things that are under the blood and have been forgiven. And I need to get up off my knees. I want you to raise your hand. Thank you for that hand. Thank you for that hand. See, God wants us to move forward. And if we're always looking back, you can't walk in a straight line. If we're looking back, we can't see the glorious future that Christ has for us. I don't want to look back anymore. I don't want to look back anymore. I don't have to be on my knees anymore. Father, I thank you for those who raise their hands. Lord, I pray for the anointing to fall on them. Lord, the anointing for forgetfulness. That they forget those things that are behind. That they forget those things, God, because they're under the blood. Lord, that they leave the bones, they leave the carcasses buried. Let them leave them. Father, I praise you and thank you that you're going to move in each life. If you raised your hand, I want you to come forward. I want to pray for you.
So what may think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I
God is the, you've, it's the Word of God. It's the truth that sets you free. And the truth is Jesus Christ, and Jesus is here, and He set you free this morning. Satan is a liar. He's a liar. And we know it, so why do we listen? You know how you know he's a when he's lying? When he's opening his mouth, just like some people. It's true. Some people, you know they're lying because their mouth is open. And their father is the devil. Tell you this, even if they're in church. You know, you heard the story of the wheat and the tares, right? Well, that means that the wheat and the tares are together in the same place. So that means you're going to experience people who are going to lie to you in church. You're going to experience people who are going to talk bad about you in church. You're going to experience people who are going to be a thorn in your flesh in church. You know, people say, well, you can't judge. On the contrary. On the contrary. Jesus told me that you will know them by their fruit. A good spring can't bring forth bad water, and a bad spring can't bring forth good water. So if I'm seeing what fruit you're bringing, what water that you're dispensing, I can tell who you are. Only God can judge me. I hate that saying. Only God can judge whether you are going to make it into heaven and whether you are born again or not and you've been covered by the blood. Only He can judge that. But He gave me the authority. He gave me the right to judge your fruit. And there's some people that you don't have to be around very long. You know what side they're on. Flower, sweet, flowery speech, and oh, you know, that's the honey's dripping off their tongue. It's so sweet, it makes you sick. And then coming around the backside, in the back door, demeaning you, defaming you to your face there. I love you. While they're putting the knife in the middle of your back. That shouldn't happen. And unfortunately, it does. So remember, get off your knees. Get up off your knees. And move forward. And leave the past in the past.